West Coast Summer College Training, July 7th through 13th, 2008, Sacramento, California, United States. Title, That I May Gain Christ. Morning Session 1, The Christian Life in Philippians. Message 3, A Life of Shining as Luminaries and Holding Forth the Word of Life.
Hallelujah! Amen. Let's all declare it, Lord Jesus. We say amen to your word. Jesus, we say amen to your word. Hallelujah for this first line, the Christian life in Philippians. I'd like to follow up with Dick. Why don't you ask your neighbor, what is the main point of our Christian life? I don't know what you say, but hallelujah, gain Christ. I would say the main point of our Christian life is to experience and to enjoy Christ. Hallelujah, to experience and enjoy Christ. And the goal of our Christian life is just to live Christ. So yesterday we saw that we have a particular salvation, right? Our salvation is that we will enjoy the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That in all things we will not be put to shame. But we will magnify Christ.
Amen.
And then finally, we'll live Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for such a wonderful salvation.
Amen.
But what does this mean? How is it practical to us? So we come to today's message. You know, Philippians 2, 15 to 16 is actually a definition of Philippians 1, 19 to verse 21. If you consider it, you know, Philippians 1, 19 to 21, there are three outstanding points. Number one, we have the Spirit, the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Number two, we have this matter of magnifying Christ, right? We like to tell out to the world how great our Christ is. And number three, in our daily life, in our normal experience, what is it like to live Christ? So we come to chapter 2, and we see the very Spirit is a consummating triune God, process, now operating within us for our salvation. So we have the very God who is operating within us, even energizing us till we may work out our own salvation.
Amen.
This triune God is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then we move on. You know, what does it mean to magnify Christ? To magnify Christ in Philippians 2 means we're luminaries.
Right.
Reflecting and shining forth Christ to the world.
Right.
And so what does it mean to live Christ? To live Christ here is to hold forth the Word of God.
Amen.
This means that we're presenting the Word.
Right.
Applying the Word to the people.
Amen.
Not in a dead doctrinal way, but actually to live Christ.
Amen.
So this comes to the title. You know, what is the Christian life in Philippians? The Christian life is a life of shining as luminaries and holding forth the word of life.
Amen.
Okay, so let's all read Roman numeral 1 together. Go.
In this dark world, which is usurped by Satan, our function is to shine as luminaries, holding forth the word of life.
Amen. Hallelujah, our function is to shine. But in where? In the midst of this dark and corrupt world. I really encourage you to read the footnote in 1 John 2:15 to 17. You really get a good view of what is the world. How is it defined in the Bible? Actually, the main point we'd like to emphasize is the world we're living in is an anti-God system set up by Satan to usurp men, actually to draw us away from the enjoyment of Christ. And so what is this world? And in footnotes it said, Satan, in order to usurp God's created men, formed an anti-God world system on this earth to systemize man with religion, culture, education, industry, commerce, and even entertainment. You know, I think we could at least say one of these things we're in, right? You know, all of us, brothers and sisters, we are all on the college campuses. So we're all in this particular world system of education. Some of us may be working a part-time job. So the industry could be the world that you serves us and draws us for enjoying Christ. But I really appreciate the outline says in the midst of this world. If you consider John 17:15, the Lord said, you know, I do not pray that you be taken out of this world, but I pray that you be kept from the evil one. And then he mentioned this matter, you know, your word is truth. Sanctify them in the truth. You know, so the Lord doesn't desire to take us out of this world system. You know, this world could be a prison to us, like we saw yesterday. And we need to be saved. But to be saved is to come to the Word. And actually, by coming to the Word, we shine as luminaries. So praise the Lord for the Word. And I also really impressed when I was preparing this. It's a matter of testimony. In message one, Brother Dick showed us, right? We're here to experience and enjoy Christ, but this life is a life for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. It's not just for us, but it's a corporate living for the gospel, right? It's to me, for you. But here, the main focus is, what is our testimony on the campus? Not even going out to preach the gospel. You know, what is our testimony? Is our testimony luminaries shining on the campus? I'll just share a little example. You know, when I came into church life in college, one of my high school friends came and visited me. And after spending a weekend with me, he asked me, you know, kind of a negative testimony. He said, is this what a Christian is? That really touched me. You know, I was just so exposed. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I'm exposed in a good way that, you know, our testimony is that we should be luminaries, right, reflecting and shining Christ. Amen. If they can't see that you're a believer and you have such a light within you, woe is us. You know, that's all I could say. But I really enjoy, this Greek word for luminaries. What does it mean to shine as luminaries? It means we're ones who are beholding and reflecting Christ. The Greek word here, luminaries, it actually means heavenly bodies that reflect the sun. You know, this shows that we don't have light in ourselves, right? But we have a source, Christ, who is the very sun, and he's a light to us. And by us enjoying him and coming to him in the word, spontaneously, even unconsciously, we have a testimony before the world. Amen. And this testimony is that Christ is being reflected in us. Amen. Right, so let's read point one together. As such luminaries, the believers shine in the world. They do not possess any light in themselves, but have a heavenly ability to shine the light of Christ. And let's read point two. Christ is the sun, with the moon as the moon, and the believers as planets to reflect him by holding forth the word of life. Here in Song of Songs 6:10, it talks about this woman. She's as beautiful as the moon and as clear as the sun. Isn't this wonderful? That our testimony would be, we're as beautiful as the moon and as clear as the sun. Brothers and sisters, Christ is a sun, and the church, we're just the moon to reflect him. Okay, so let's, point B, this shows us how, you know, to magnify Christ is to really to live Christ. And in chapter 2, this means we're here to hold forth the word of life. Okay, so the word of life, to hold forth the word of life is to apply it, to present it, and to offer it to the world by living out Christ. Actually, this word, to hold forth the word of life, is very difficult to define. I really appreciate here, it opens this word and shows us that, you know, to hold forth the word is really to offer the word, even to present the word and to apply the word to someone else on their behalf. This means, you know, we need to take Christ, we need to present Christ, even to apply Christ to their situation. But practically, you know, we can see a good example in Acts 5, verse 20, and that's footnote number 2. When you come to the story, Peter was going around, declaring the high gospel, right? And then at this point in verse 17, it says, the high priest and all those with him, the local sect of the Sadducees, rose up and was filled with jealousy. And what they did was they took Peter and threw him in prison. And that night, an angel came, and he opened the prison door, and he told Peter, he said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.
Amen.
I was really impressed. We're here to speak all the words of this life.
Amen.
The words we speak to others is not doctrine. We're not here to present some, doctrine to people. Actually, here the angel pointed out, it's the word of this life.
Amen.
Here the footnote brings out that, the divine life presented and preached by the Apostle Peter was made so real and so present, even the angel saw it and pointed it out.
Amen.
May this be our living.
Amen.
And we enjoy Christ so much.
Amen.
That the divine life is made so real and present in our being.
Amen.
That even the angels could see it. All your friends could see it.
Amen.
This is a real way to hold forth the word of life.
Amen.
It's not so much about what we tell them and what we say to them. It is by our living. This life is made so real and present.
Amen.
To the point, when they see it, they just say, wow, there's some shining. And they can't point, wow. It's just awesome.
Amen.
Amen. So the way to live and magnify Christ by shining as luminaries is to be saturated with his word of life. So we come to this matter, daily we need to be ones who are saturated with the word of life.
Amen.
The word of life is different from the doctrine of dead letters. It is the living breath of God and a spirit who gives life.
Amen.
Brother Brian will bring out much more how, we don't come to the word to find knowledge and doctrine. Actually, we come to it to receive life.
Amen.
We like to breathe in the spirit, right? Even just to enjoy, but I really appreciate point two. Sometimes in our experience, at least also in my experience, when we come to the word, I don't actually touch so much light and so much life. I don't know if this is your experience. There's nothing wrong with the word. It says the word is the breath of God. It's even the spirit who gives life. In Psalm 119, 130, it says, the opening of your word gives light.
Amen.
But how come so many times in our experience, when we come to the word, it feels like nothing is stirring within us? That's why I really appreciate point two. It says, when we are right in our spirit and pure in our heart, and then come to the word with our whole being open to the Lord, we will have the sense that we're entering into a sphere of light. Brothers and sisters, how we come to the word means a great deal. What is the condition of our being? I really appreciate we need to be right in our spirit. In Proverbs 20:27, it says, our spirit is the lamp of Jehovah. But is this lamp, covered with sins? How's our conscience, right? We need to have a right spirit.
Amen.
I really appreciate, David and the Psalms. He says, grant me a right spirit.
Amen.
Lord, make this our prayer, that when we come to the word, we will have a right spirit.
Amen.
And also, we need to be pure in heart.
Amen.
Our eyes need to be singled on the Lord.
Amen.
We're not here to just receive some knowledge, but we're here to enjoy Christ.
Amen.
And finally, we need to open the word with our whole being completely open to him.
Amen.
Like Brother Dick said yesterday night, our three layers, our body, soul, and spirit, all needs to be open to him.
Amen.
This is a proper way to come to the word.
Amen.
And now I'll give the time to Brother Brian. And he's going to share with us how we can eat, drink, and breathe the word.
Amen.
Okay, so how about we have the brothers read Philippians 2:15, and then the sisters read Philippians 2:16.
Go.
Amen. I got an email about a month ago, and I had a list of brothers' names and who would be sharing some of these. And so I looked down, I found my name, and I found it on this message. So I opened I had a file of it, and I looked at it, and I began to smile. I really like this aspect. I began to smile because this point of shining, holding forth the word of life, being luminaries, is a very doable situation. If you go to chapter 1 and you see, for to me to live is Christ, and I'm going to magnify Christ in my body, whether through life or death. You know, that just seems really big, especially in prison, like our brother shared yesterday. But when you get to this section of how to magnify and live Christ, by being soaked, saturated, satiated, infiltrated with the Word of God, I could do that. I could do that. We all can do that. We all could come to the Word. We're all at different stages. We're at different levels. Even this weekend, we may be at different levels and stages personally. But we have those are normal situations. But anyways, we could come and we could get soaked and saturated with the Word of God. Well, let me say this. I looked up this word here. Because the title here, well, not the title, it's mentioned here, we'll get into it, about being saturated. To saturate is to cause something to become thoroughly soaked with liquid so that no more could be absorbed. Amen. Saturated, thoroughly soaked with the Word of God. And Sean mentioned a little bit, real brief, I want to come back to point C1. The Word of life is different from doctrine of dead letters. It is the living breath of God. And it is the Spirit of life. Okay, God has given us two awesome gifts. What are the two gifts that God has given man? Do you know? Yeah. Got it. Amen. What a gift. Okay. Are these two different? Or are they the same? Well, the Word is God outside of us, and the Spirit is God inside of us. So they're both God. They're both God. But one is God in printed form. And one is God in spirit form, pneumatized form. Okay? So here's the dilemma. How do we... Okay, well, let me say this. The Spirit is pretty abstract and a little bit nebulous. You know, like last night we're singing, or in the morning we're singing, praise the Lord. We're singing, and maybe there's a really sense that God is flowing in us. But not everybody has that sense that God is flowing. It doesn't mean God's not flowing. If you're a born-again, regenerated believer, I can tell you with 1,000% assurance that God is flowing in you. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Actually, He's probably flowing in you more when you don't think it than when you, hallelujah, praise the Lord! You know, you think, oh, God's flowing. Well, I'm not going to say He's not flowing. But at those times, like our brother mentioned earlier, in despair, the calling out, I'm telling you, God is flowing. He's flowing in us. He is the Spirit. But the Spirit's kind of, you know, everybody's got an idea of the Spirit. It's abstract. It's mysterious. It is. But the Word of God is firm. It's solid. It doesn't change. We change. Don't we change? I mean, we change almost on an hourly basis. I mean, sometimes even more. We just go, we're just like that. Well, what's going to stabilize us? What's going to bring us into a more of a stable situation is the Word of God. So as believers, we want to hold forth this Word of life. And when we come to the Word, we're actually coming to the Spirit. Do you know that your Bible is God in printed form? I brought a Bible to college. I was an unbeliever. I don't know how. The way I got a Bible, when I was 15 years old, two Mormons came to my door. And my mom went out grocery shopping. And they came to my door. And they told me about the first people to tell me about God. I said, come on in. So I brought them in. They sat down at on my couch. And my mom came home. She saw these guys in my house. I let them in. And I really forget what they said, but you know, what they did do is they put an aspiration into for the Bible. I had not had a Bible, never had a Bible, and so I got my aunt gave me a, my aunt found out about it and she gave me a Catholic Bible. Well, I don't know if you've read a Catholic Bible. It's really different from this one. It's really written differently. But anyways, that's the only one I had. I read through the book of Genesis, and I read through a little bit of Exodus. And then I brought it with me to college. I remember I had it above my bed all the time. I just had it there. The Holy Bible. Holy Bible. Sometimes I'd put it under my pillow and never open it or read it. Why would you do that? You just bring it with you. That's the way I was raised. You just bring it with you. You have it there. It's very superstitious, isn't it? You know? Nothing's going to happen to you because I got the Bible on my shelf. Well, God is in printed form. At the times when you're, when we're in despair, at the times when we're questioning His existence, you know, believers, if you're a believer and you never question if this whole thing is real, then you're probably not a believer. Every born-again believer questions this. Is the church the church? Is this the Lord's recovery? Everybody's jumping, praising God and shouting, I don't have that same feeling. Is this real? Well, at those times, did you pick that up when our brother Ruel gave his testimony? He said he was in despair. He used the word despair. Not depressed. We're all depressed. We look at our grades, we get depressed. But despair means a helplessness. There's nothing to turn to. But you know what? Did you get the point? He says, as I was reading through my daily reading. That was just, oh, I ate that during my 15-minute walk this morning. In other words, the pneumatic God in him seemed so distant. But the printed God, he still read. He still got the print of God. And then what happened? As he was reading and he came across a verse and he transduced those words in black and white into spirit and he got God. Maybe a situation, probably a situation externally didn't change after that reading. But internally there was probably a different view and a different look. That's what we want to do. We want to get the printed God into our spirit. So he becomes the living God, independent of how we feel. That's why we need a Bible reading schedule. Independent of how we feel. I don't want to read my Bible today. You don't have to worry about how you feel about reading the Bible. You have to read your Bible. It's right there. It accumulates. It gets the word in there. And this word is written here also, accumulation. Brother Martin Luther, the brothers shared this morning, he likened the Word of God to a branch with berries. No, berries aren't. Didn't say a watermelon plant. Oh, I'm thinking a watermelon plant. Berries. But he accumulated it. Every morning, a couple berries. Every morning, a couple berries. We're going to get into this. Every morning, a couple berries. That produces an accumulative effect of God added to us. Then unconsciously, spontaneously, effortlessly, we shine. Luminaries have no light in themselves, right? We're just like a glow-in-the-dark frisbee. Come here, Evan. Here's a glow-in-the-dark frisbee.
But he hasn't been around the light very much. So he just looks like a, you know, he's dark green. Okay. But you know what happens when you take a glow-in-the-dark Frisbee, say this is a 200-watt bulb, and you put it next to it, right, for a couple minutes, it's there, don't feel any difference, can't feel the light going into him, situation externally hasn't changed, still has all his situations. Okay, then he leaves. What's happening now? There's a shining. There's a shine. There is a glowing in him, regardless if he feels like it. Thanks, brother. Regardless if he feels like it. I remember when I first got married, I didn't know my wife had all these health issues. Surprise, surprise, surprise. I told her, I thought I was marrying a Mercedes and I got a Ford. So we got married and she had these major medical problems. She had Graves' disease, hyperthyroidism. And her neck started to bulge and her eyes started to bulge. I look at her, wow, what's going on? And we tried holistic ways. We really wanted to go that route, but it was too advanced. So we had to go and to a physician specializing in radiological medicine. The only way to deal with this goiter was to get it radiated. And what you do is you drink a cocktail. It's a radioactive cocktail. It's in a shot glass. And it's radioactive. I think it's I-35. It's radium that's designed to go to the thyroid because it produces iodine. Okay, so she went in there. We went in there. We talked. We just got married. And I said, are we going to be able to have kids? Is this going to affect it? He said, no problem. No problem. So they took us down this hall, and at the end of the hall was a safe. And you open this thing, and there was the cocktail. I mean, it's radioactive. And the guy didn't come up here like this in a white shirt and tie. He was leaded. He was gloved. And they gave her this cocktail, and she drank it. And he said to me, Mr. Adamo, I just want to let you know that your wife is radioactive right now. And they took a medical Geiger counter and went beep 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 beep. And he said, I suggest you don't sleep with her tonight. Don't go to bed with her tonight. Maybe go out in the living room. And I said, I just got married. I told him that. I just got married. That's not going to happen. So I went home. And I went to bed, laying right next to her. And I start to think about this thing. She looks the same. She never felt she hasn't felt anything happening, you know. But she took in an element that is very glowing. And I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, he said, for the first couple of days, if you get really close, you will be radiated. And I said, honey, I think I'm going to sleep on the sofa. And I went out on the sofa, slept like a baby. Well, what's the point? I don't know. The point is that she took something into her, regardless of how she felt, and it radiated out. That's the point. We take God into us through the Word, independent of how you feel. Independent of how we feel, and then he will come out. It's guaranteed. He is I-35 alive. He's radioactive. I don't mean we're going to be jumping around and shouting. It's okay to. I love that. I love to get released. You know, I'm the first one to be with you on that. But we're not going to leave this week doing this all the time. Every morning and every day, we're not going to be. We don't have Brother Dick with us every day to get. You know, we're going to be on campus. We're going to be back at home, roommates, parents. It's not going to be like that. But one thing is certain. We could take every day a little time to be radiated with God. Amen. It happens. It's true. And it's effortless. Even last night, I mean, I was in the back during most of the sharing. But the whole room was just filled with the Spirit. I walked out. I went to take a walk. And I saw a guy sitting there. Actually, I just was walking past him. And I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He said to me, "How you doing?" I said, "Good, good, good." Shook his hand. The first thing he said, "Wow, you're so happy." He says, "Everybody around here is just a sour. Everybody around here is miserable," meaning the campus. He was just waiting to be picked up. But it's so good to see someone happy. Well, did I see him? Oh, I got to be happy now, you know. I need to live Christ. I need to live Christ while I'm walking. It wasn't even I don't even know what was happening. I didn't know I was smiling. I didn't know that I was glowing. And I was, because he's picked that up. Why? Because 3 days of infusion. Berry after berry after berry after berry. Nibbling, 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 nibbling. And it just comes out. Brothers and sisters, we're around each other a lot, so we don't see that. We don't see it. You just got to get out. I'm telling you, when you're out there praying and other people are walking, there's some radium being dispensed. When you're in that line in the cafeteria, I know, because Vinny, the guy who's the guy who stands here, Vinny, he told us he's never seen a group of people like this before. It's just shining. It's radium, and it's from enjoying the Word,
amen,
contacting God in the Word. Okay, so let's get into this more. So with that in our view, number 3, whoa, we need to eat, drink, and breathe the Word in the Bible.
Wow.
By doing 2 things. What?
Breathing.
And singing. Okay, I wish you would drop your concepts, turn your heart to the Lord. Drop the concept of pray reading. You read pray reading and you already got an idea of what it is. Listen, to pray read is to what? It's to pray read. It's just to read the Bible in a prayerful way.
Amen.
And we'll get into the verse in Ephesians 6:17. It says, we take the word of God by means of all prayer. In other words, you can't cap pray reading. You can't say this is pray reading and you're not pray reading. There's no limit to it. It's all prayer. And there's different types of praying the word of God. Okay, so first of all, we need to eat the Word of God. A, according to the entire revelation in the Bible. How about that phrase? God's words are good for us to study.
No.
Analyze.
No.
Argue and debate.
No.
Beat up people with.
No.
They're for us to eat.
Amen.
And we need to eat them.
Amen.
Who's got Jeremiah 15:16? Shout it out. I love that. I have that in a brother made that for me and got it. I don't have it now because it's been moved, but I had it above my kitchen table. Thy words were found and I did eat them. Psalm 119:103. How sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh, Matthew 4:4. You know that one? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out from the mouth of God. See, we just pray the word, and then we put a little tune on it. We sing it. I mean, I'm telling you, well, I was going to say I wrote that verse. I wrote the verse. I put that verse to that. I put that tune to that personally to that verse. I can't even talk. Around 1986, 87, we were visiting a couple, and we read that verse, and I broke out in that tune. I've been enjoying that for 30 years now. See, that verse, you asked me Matthew 4:4. I don't even have to think about it. It got put in me by singing it, singing God's word, by praying God's word. It's food. Hebrews 5:12-14 mentions 2 types of food. Milk for the inexperienced, but it's okay. We all need milk. I drank milk today at the cafeteria. We need milk, but it's also solid food. You know, solid food is the word of righteousness. Milk is when we're saying, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Call Lord Jesus, taste and see. But then milk, a solid food, is a word related to God's righteousness. Talk about the kingdom, the cross, our sins, confessing our sins. These are the words of righteousness. Okay, so we eat them. Well, we also drink them. Oh, wow. Can you think of a verse that shows drinking? Well, I gave it to you. We talked about milk. It's 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, long for the guileless milk of the word. You drink milk. Okay? That by it you may what?
Grow.
Unto?
Salvation.
If? That the Lord
is good.
Okay, do you know why that word if is in there? Because Peter wrote that verse recognizing that all those brothers were born again, but not all were tasting it. See, they were all born again. They had the milk, came in, but they weren't. So then he says, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. So that is, you know, we're not here for work. We don't talk about works, salvation by works. But it does take a dedicated effort on our side to eat God's word. It takes a little bit. We don't like to hear that. We just want an osmotic experience. Just wake up and you're just there. No, it takes an effort to get into God's word, to pray God's word. And then we breathe God's word. Who's got a verse for that? All scripture. God breathed. And profitable. Yeah, we're a little shy in that part, huh? Okay, let me read it to you. I'm right with you. I forgot. I got the first part. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay, so it's breathable. It's breathable. Okay, so we come to God's word. The scripture is God's exhalation. When we pray it, we inhale it. This is really mouth-to-mouth. This is mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He's breathing out. He breathed it out in printed form. When we pray it, we inhale it. Then it begins to work in us. Then when we go to speak it, we exhale it. And then you get to inhale it. Then when you speak it to Jonathan, you exhale it. I mean, you exhale it. He inhales it all the way down the line. That's the Christian experience. It's a breathing experience. Inhale, exhale. Let me ask you this. Is it hard to breathe? You've been doing a lot of it this whole time. There is no one that hasn't breathed in the last 30 seconds. It's so natural. Can the Word of God be so natural to us and comfortable and normal when we pray it? Can't we just take that all Scripture? Hallelujah. Lord, not my words, your words. All Scripture, that means whatever verse I'm reading, God breathe. Here, I'll give you a verse. We'll do a random one. And this is but a small thing in the sight of Jehovah, for he will deliver Moab into your hand. Amen. That's just a small thing. Lord, it's a small thing for you to take care of this problem. It's a small thing. It's a big mountain to me. It's so small to you. It's but a small thing in the sight of Jehovah. Lord, my problems are so big. No one understands me. No one really understands me. My problems are a mountain. But in the sight of you, it's just a small thing.
Amen.
You could just take that. You just absorb. I mean, I was getting fed right there. There was some problems dissipating right there. We got to focus on the things of life rather than being so focused on techniques. The scripture, the word of God, is the breathing out of God. B, the way to receive the word is by means of all prayer and petition. Okay, so let me give you an example. I've told you before that the word of God is black and white letters. Really, what's the difference between this and a biochemistry textbook? I mean, they're both pages. They're both printed maybe by the same publisher. What makes this different than that? Because inside this is embodied the Spirit. The essence of this is the Spirit. The essence of that biochemistry book, I don't know what it is. It's the knowledge of biochemistry. So we have to change the black and white letters. We have to make them into Spirit somehow. And we do that by praying and singing.
The black and white letters. You know, it's funny, the Bible, I mean, you would think, if you say you had a textbook, say you had or a novel, you would think after reading that paragraph 500 times, you would kind of understand it, right? You wouldn't need to read it again. I mean, how many times have you prayed, read John 1:1, Mark? I mean, I would say, without exaggerating, maybe for me, 400 or 500 times, John 1:1. So God's word, which is spirit and life, doesn't get absorbed by us a lot of times. It's like certain foods. You know, you eat them, but you eat a lot of iceberg lettuce. Sound familiar? You eat a lot of iceberg lettuce. Yeah, you're eating it, but it's not doing anything. Okay. So when my kids were about 5, I got a fax machine, and I was showing them how to use a fax machine. Take this paper, put it. They saw me plug it in and put it through, and then whoever I'm faxing to is going to get the same thing. So they said, they told me, Dad, you put the paper through, and then the paper runs through the cord. They thought it really got real small. And then it went somewhere, and then it came out. That was their idea, but not too bad. They didn't know at 5 years old that you have to transduce, you have to change the printed word into electrical impulse. And then it's able to carry. But at the other end, you need to change it back into a way that it's printable. Right? I mean, I'm not a double E major by any means, but something's going on. I know the paper's not going through the wall. So we have to change the word of God. We have to transduce it from black and white to spirit. Okay, that's the point. Change it. Don't just take it there. Change it. Change it by praying it. Change it by pray reading it. Change it by singing it. Okay, the way to receive... Okay, we got it. D. Oh, this is good. Don't you like the way? The way to let the Lord's word dwell on us richly is by teaching, admonishing, and singing. Okay, Colossians 3:16. This is a very famous verse. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with... We teach with psalms, hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to God. Okay, so we want to... let me read a note on that real quick. 3:16, one second paragraph. Okay. A normal Christian life should be one that is filled with the word, that the Spirit may bubble over with praise and lauding melodies from within the believers. Amen. Amen. Lauding melodies from within the believers. Okay, so we got to sing the Word of God. Take down these verses. We won't get into them now. I'll read a couple of them. These are some verses I jotted down on singing the Word in the Bible. Some Old Testament ones are Psalm 119:54. Which is a good one. Let me read it real quick. Psalm 119:54, which says, your statutes have been my songs of praise in the house of my pilgrimage. Your statutes. Statutes is the Bible. It's been my song of praise in Psalm 42:8. Psalm 42:8 says, by day, Jehovah commands his loving kindness, and by night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Anybody have verses in the Bible? The God of my life? Okay, his song is with me. New Testament, Acts 16:25. That's a famous account with Paul and Silas. You remember that? The brothers shared that in training a little bit. They're in prison. They're bound. They're in the stocks, saints. They're in the stocks. They're bound, and they're bound. I mean, they're in a Roman jail. Talk about murmuring and reasoning. I know where I would have been in that whole thing. You know, just, what on earth is going on? I gave my life to you, Christ, and I'm in bound. Don't they understand? But what were they doing? You remember that? Okay, let me show you something. You maybe didn't pick up on that verse, though. It says, and about midnight, Paul and Silas while praying, sang hymns of praise to God. So they are praying, and their praying broke out into singing. They intermingled it. They prayed, and then they sang. This is the best way to get God's word into us. You pray a little bit, then you sing it. You sing God's word. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:15. This is a good one. It says here, for if I... Oh, no. 14, 15? 14. What then? I will pray with the Spirit. Amen. We need to do that. I will also pray with the mind. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the mind. Well, in order to sing with the mind, you have to be focusing on something. You have to be reading something, concentrating on something. When we say, get out of your mind, touch your spirit, we don't mean not to use your mind. You brothers all know that, right, Jeremy? Yeah. We're not saying that. We're just saying that you're just, you know, you're deep in the cortex. You need to drop 18 inches to your spirit. Just poof, and read God's word by singing. Okay, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Hebrews 2, 12. James 5, 13. Revelation 14, 3 and 15, 3. Okay, so as we pray read a portion of the word, we will sense that something inwardly is moving. Amen. Operating in us to comfort, strengthen, satisfy, and refresh us. I've already had that experience this year. For if we practice, okay, remember here's the if we practice exercising our spirit to pray the word and sing the word, we shall be permeated, Josh, and saturated, Ben, with the rich supply from the living word. And our inner being will be filled with the riches of Christ. And what happens? Spontaneously, effortless, unconsciously, and even unintentionally, we shall have a life that expresses Christ, that's shining, and holds forth the word of life.
Amen.
You know what I like about singing? You know, I tell people I only sing in one key, and that's off. But I like that because when I'm by myself, I don't care. I don't care how you think I sing. I just want to get God.
Amen.
I want to sing the word of God.
Amen.
And you know what? You can't sing it wrong.
Amen.
Can you sing that verse wrong? If you squeeze a little word here, or you stretch it out, or you put in shortly, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All I know is I'm getting God added to me.
Amen.
And then I will unintentionally, spontaneously, and what was the other word? Unconsciously shine forth.
Amen.
Okay. So I want to go into one more thing. Give me 4 minutes, brothers. We need to have this kind of contact with the Lord day after day, hour after hour, and even moment by moment. If we daily digest Christ as the word of life, accumulating the riches of the word in a subjective, organic way, then we'll have something that's living and organic, and we'll preach the gospel. Of course we will. Look, if we're just doing this throughout the day, singing, praying a verse, we will just speak to people. You'll have to hold yourself back. You know, people say, how are you doing today? You'll just share something. I don't know what you share. You say, well, this morning, actually, I was a little hopeless. But today, I hope in the Lord Jesus. a little bit. Okay. Then there's that type of singing. And you could do this with people. It's easy by yourself. But you could do it with brothers and sisters around you. It's a little bit awkward. And then there, you got to get past that, though. You got to get past the awkwardness because you lose a lot of opportunity. And we're all in the same position. We don't want to embarrass ourselves. I'm not asking you to do something embarrassing. But asking you to be, when you're together in twos or threes, let loose. Just take something and practice it. Okay, well, I took too long. We got 1 minute to...